Well, you know it's in that direction, right? All right, step back down here for a minute. Okay, so do you think if you started walking on foot or driving, have a terrible sense of direction? Oh, okay. Well, this is going to be fun then. I'm going to have to stand up here. Come over here. I'll put this blindfold on you. Oh, you know what? I need to show you something first. Chick-fil-A gift card. $20. Right here on, yeah, see, y'all should have yelled and hollered at me. Right there on the table, okay? You see where it is? Point to it. Are you lost? Do you know where you're going? You know where you're going. Okay, now, let's make sure, where'd that blindfold go? Here it is. Okay. You got it? You got your bearings, right? You got your room? You know where it is in the room? Okay. Let's put this thing on you. Can you see? Okay, let's spin around. Spin around. Spin around. Keep going. All right, come over here a little bit. Okay. Okay, you ready? Now, I want you to walk and get your Chick-fil-A prize. Awesome job. Wow. That's a lot better than I could have done. Thank you, Ethan. Oh, Ethan, stay up here for a minute. Stay up here. Here, have a seat on this stool. He had no idea he was going to be this involved in our sermon today. How many of you, maybe this doesn't happen so much anymore, again, because we have our phones, we have maps on our phones, we can pull up Google Maps, figure out where we are, where we need to be. But how many have you ever heard, you stopped, asked for directions, first of all the men said, nope, you don't have to go any further, I don't stop and ask for directions. But maybe you stopped and asked for directions, and for me it happened in the country, on this little country road, and this, I was lost, this was before cell phone days. And this farmer was out on the side of the road, and I pulled over. I said, hey, I can't remember where I was trying to go. Can you tell me how to get to so-and-so? You know what he said? Can't get there from here. Have you ever heard that? You can't get there from here. Now, that is absolutely ridiculous. I can get there surely from here if I make a bunch of turns or something, right? If I turn around, there's got to be a way to get there. There are roads there, right? But what he's saying is, you're going the wrong way. You're way out. You're lost. And it's going to be really difficult for me to, I can't give you directions back there because you are so out of the way. You can't get there from here. And I'm thinking, that applies to life. My family and I have gone to Gulf Shores for a long time for vacation. Even when I was a kid growing up, we'd make that trip from Nashville down to Gulf Shores, the Orange Beach area. You know what I'm talking about, down there in the panhandle of Alabama and Florida? We call it the Redneck Riviera. We always go down the Redneck Riviera. We love it. I just love those beaches, nice, pristine, white beaches, not too touristy. Just a great, awesome place to be. Now, Ethan, have you been to Gulf Shores? You have. Good. Would you say, I know you have a sense of direction problem, would you say it's north or south of here? South, he said. Yes. See, you're not that off, okay? But Ethan, let's say you wanted to go from Memphis to Gulf Shores, and you started out, and you said, you know what, I need to go to West Memphis and get some gas first because they have cheaper gas over there. And while you're over there, you see a billboard, and you see, you know, if I go up I-55 north a little bit, there's this restaurant I've heard really good reviews about. I'm going to try that. They have this great dessert, this mile-high pie I want to get before. Okay, then I'll hit the road. And then there you say, oh, you know, I'm so close to my friend's house, or my grandmother's house. I'm going to go up there and see her. And then before you know it, you are on your way to where? St. Louis. You going to get to the beach that way? You can't get there from here as long as you're headed north. Everybody knows We all agree that you have to go south to get to Orange Beach. Now, you may have a different route. You may go I-55, and you may get off at Jackson. You may get off at and hit Lamar, 78, and go down that way. You have different ways to go, and we can argue about that. People do argue about the best way to get to Gulf Shores. But one thing we can agree on, you have to go south on you have to go south, period. If you go north on I-55, you will never, ever get to the beach. Unless you call the Arctic, where the icebergs meet the water, the beach. You're not going to get there. Does that make sense to you so far? Okay, I'm glad you're tracking with me. So this brings up a principle I want to talk about. You know, Stephen talked about last week principles. We're going to be going through Proverbs, and Proverbs have principles. Principles are not the same thing as promises. Principles are foundational truths that are true most of the time. And if you build your life on proverbs, on principles, then you're going in the right direction, and you have much less chance of goofing off. But this is, you're going to wonder why you're paying me to be a minister when you read this, okay? Whatever road you're on determines where you end up. Everybody say a collective, duh. Ready? Everybody, that's common sense. Isn't that common sense? The road, wherever the road you're on, wherever it's, that's where you're going. And that brings up this principle of the path. I'm not sure that last one came up. This is a book by Andy Stanley called The Principle of the Path. Now, Gary wanted to preach this sermon several years ago from this book, and I've been wanting to do it. And it's based on Proverbs. So what we're having here in our summer series of Don't Be a Dummy, we have a four-week mini-series tucked in to that summer series, and it's based on the principles of Andy Stanley's book, The Principle of the Path. Okay, so I want to give him credit before we move on. But in that book, Andy says that the principle of path is this: your direction determines your destination. Can we say that? Your direction, that's right. So the road you're on determines where you're going to go. Now, we tend to think about this principle, and we understand it when it comes to driving and walking and trying to get somewhere. You can even understand it at work camp when you got a goal and you're trying to get somewhere. And if you're not going in the right direction, then you're not going to meet your desired destination. Does that make sense so far? Even if you intend. Now, Ethan was going to the beach, and he intended to go to the beach. That's what he desired. That's what he's been dreaming about, is Orange Beach. I'm going to get to the beach. But little by little, he had these dots taking him somewhere else, up a different road to a different destination. And he was distracted by cheaper gas, by that mile-high pie, by his relative or friend he wanted to visit. And then the lure of St. Louis, I'm so close, I might as well get on there. That wasn't where he wanted to go. But it's so easy for us to get off track in all areas of life and end up on the road that we don't want to be on. Now, why are we talking about this? Maybe your destination, your desired destination is, I want to be healthier. I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to eat right. I want to exercise. But when you look at your direction, what about your direction says you're going to go to your destination? How often, we have good intentions, right? We want to be healthy. We want to be healthy. We want to work out. But how often does our decisions and our direction match what we really want? We all want to have a good relationship with God and grow spiritually. But when you wake up in the morning, and instead of opening our Bible and praying, we get out our phones or our laptops or our iPads, and we check in on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, read everybody else's posts, see what they're doing, post some things ourselves. And before you know it, it's time to get up and go to school. It's time to get up and go to work. We didn't do any quiet time at all. What direction are we going in? You have good intention. We want good marriages. We want husbands and wives who really love and respect each other. But if you're on the road of arguing and being petty and being selfish, is that going to get you to your desired intention, your desired destination? We want our teens, and our teens want to marry godly people. Our teens have seen some of you adults, and they think, I want a husband like that, or I want a wife like that. And they have a picture in mind of their ideal mate and what their marriage wants to be like, what they want it to be like. But their direction may not match their desired destination, because when it comes to dating, if he's hot and he's nice, I say yes. If she's hot, if she's nice, I'll ask her out. Does that match the desired destination? Doesn't match. Does not match. Now, why do I have Ethan up here still? Well, there's that book, The Principle of the Path. We're going to be in Proverbs 7 today. And let's just look at this verse. I looked down through the lattice. I saw among the simple. I noticed among the young men a youth who had no sense. How do you feel? Hey, you got $20 Chick-fil-A card out of this, right? All right. Thank you, Ethan. It's here for Ethan. So this is the story that Solomon is telling of a young man. And Solomon, or this parent figure, it could be a mom, it could be a dad. It's a narrative of this guy. He's upstairs and he's looking down over the street. And he sees a young man walking down the road. And Solomon knows exactly where he's headed. He knows already what the destination is, because he's seen it before. It's a common thing. And when people go down the same road, they end up in the same place. Among the simple, among the naive. Now, all young people are naive because they just haven't lived long enough, right, to get the experience that some of us older people have gotten. I'm still naive about things, and I haven't arrived to where some of you are in your wisdom. So I'm not picking on Ethan. Ethan, thank you for being a good sport. I'm not picking on him. I'm not picking on our teenagers. I'm saying any of us, this could be anybody in this situation, okay? It could be a guy, it could be a girl, it could be someone 70 years old or someone 14. Someone who's in a situation and they are lost in their direction. So, he continues in verse 8 and 9. This young man was going down the street near what? Her corner. Walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. He is setting the stage. Can you already tell? Can you hear the Jaws music in the background? Boom, 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 boom. Here's what's going on. Look at his direction. He's going towards her corner. He's going towards her house. We're going to find out who her is in just a minute. Oh, he's heading in the wrong direction. And not only that, he tells us three times it's the wrong time of day to be going down this street. It's twilight. It's getting dark. The day is fading. You've heard nothing good happens after dark, right? When young people are out. You've heard that before. This is what he's saying. It's the wrong direction. It's the wrong time. He's giving us a heads up here. Something is about to happen. So he's looking at the lattice down the window. He sees this young man. He sees, because his vantage point, right? He's up here. He can see where he's going. He's going towards her corner. Now, if it's her corner, what does that tell you about her? She kind of hangs out in the same place a lot, right? So here she comes. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She was not a prostitute, but she was dressed like one to entice this young man. We know that because she had crafty intent. She's loud and she's defiant. Her feet never stay at home, now in the street, now in the square. At every corner, she lurks. She took hold of him and she kissed him with a brazen face, and she said, "Today I have fulfilled my vows. I have food for my fellowship offering at home." Now, what in the world does that mean? A fellowship offering was a free will offering. And when you went and made a sacrifice, you took your animal and you sacrificed at the temple. You were supposed to take that meat home with you and have a fellowship meal with your family, with friends. And you had to eat it that day. Any leftovers had to be eaten by the next day, but you're supposed to eat it that day. So there's some urgency involved here. I've made my fellowship offering. I've got the meat at home. It's good meat. We don't sacrifice bad animals. We sacrificed our best animals. So it's good meat. I don't know if it's lamb or if it's beef. I don't know what it is. But she's got a meal waiting on this young man. And we all know that the way to a young man's heart is through his stomach. You agree? I guess some guys going, mm-hmm, that's right. It's through his stomach. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Let's back up a minute because I forgot to tell you. Look at this lady. She's dressed like a prostitute. She is there, crafty intent. This is the lust of the eyes. All right, she's there to look good, to draw young men to her. So this is the lust of the eyes. Then we have the lust of the flesh. It appeals to our fleshly nature. Good food, good meat. Come home with me. Now the young man may be thinking, well, she does have to eat all this food by the night. You know, maybe she's inviting me in. It's going to be a good meal. I'm hungry. What's wrong with going to her house and eating a good meal? Now, I'll just go eat. Now, we don't know what this guy's thinking. We don't know if he's going down the road towards her house on purpose, towards her corner on purpose, or if he's just, you know, cluelessly walking around, just chilling out in town, and just happened to be heading in the wrong way. We don't know his intent. We know her intent, but we don't know his intent. But she's coming after him with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Come home and eat with me. And she says, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you. I have found you. The pride of life. This is all about you, dude. I've been waiting for you. I prepared this meal for you. I could have any guy I wanted, but I want you. How do you think this made this guy feel? Whoa, this is awesome. This woman wants me, this beautiful lady who obviously has money, we'll find out in a minute. She wants me. She's choosing me. These three things, well, let's go on here. She has money. Look, I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. That is not inexpensive. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Not inexpensive. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. She is pulling at his strings. She's trying to get to him with his imagination, with his desires of his flesh, the desires of his eyes. My husband is not home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till the full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. We won't get caught. It's safe. Nobody will know. Who's it gonna hurt? It's just you and me. My husband will never find out. He's not gonna be home in a long time. Come on. What's stopping us? John tells us this in 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. This is a common path for sin. Sin will come at us through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We could, if we had time, go back to the garden and see the same three things taking place with Adam and Eve. Nothing new here. This is a common, well-worn path. So all at once, back to Proverbs, all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Dun, dun, dun. This is what Solomon knew the whole time. The minute he saw this young man heading towards her corner, towards her house, at the wrong time of day, whether he was intending to do this or not, we don't know. But Solomon could see it from his vantage point. The direction you're going is not where you want to end up. It's going to lead to a destination where you don't want to go. And to make sure you get this message, he gives three animal stories. You're like an ox who's about to be slaughtered. That's a pretty graphic scene right there, alone. You're like a deer who got caught in a noose, and she's struggling and trying to get out. And the more she struggles, the more that noose tightens. And she's struggling, and she keeps struggling until the hunters show up and shoot those arrows into her. You're like a bird who's meant to fly and soar above the skies and have freedom, but you're caught in a snare. Do you think the ox had a clue he was about to be slaughtered? Maybe when he saw his buddies up there get slaughtered, he might have figured something out. The deer got in a noose because it was unaware. It didn't know there was a noose there. The same thing for the bird. You think those animals intended to end up that way? No. Ox just want to graze. Deer just want to run and graze and frolic. Birds want to fly and chirp and sing. Their intentions were all good, but they all ended up in the same place. It's a pretty good example for this young man. Keep going in Proverbs. Now, Solomon now changes tone a little bit. He exits the narrative to give us advice. This is what this narrative is about. Now then, my sons and daughters, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray to her paths. Now, so far, she has been the adulterous woman. But let's not limit this to adultery, to fornication, to sexual world. It applies to anything and everything. See, in Proverbs, Solomon personifies wisdom and folly, often as a woman. We have Lady Wisdom, and we have Lady Folly. They don't have to just be about about sexual stuff. It's about the direction of our life. Are we headed towards wisdom, or are we headed toward folly? What path are we on? And the young man may stop here and interrupt Solomon in his advice giving, saying, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about paths? Right? This is just an event. This lady invited me to her house for dinner. I mean, this is not a path. I'm not on a path. I'm not going down a direction to my death. I'm just having dinner with a hot chick who likes me, who wants me. What's wrong with that? And Solomon says it's not just an event. It is a path. You are on a path to destruction. Don't let your heart turn that way. Where do you want to go? Where's your intention? And are your decisions, are your directions going to get you to the destination you really want to go to? Let's keep going in Proverbs. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. You're not the only one. You are not unique. You think you're unique because she selected you? Look, many are the victims. They're like a mighty throng. Everybody who goes down this path is going to end up with the same destination, whether you intended to or not. So what path are we on this morning? When it comes to our family, whether you have kids at home, whether your kids are grown, whether you're still at home with your parents, what is your destination? What is your desired destination with your family? Well, we want to be close. We want to be there for each other. We want to treat each other like we want to be treated. We want love to be filling this house. We want, you know what we want? We want peace in this house. We want some tranquility in this house. We have to ask ourselves, are you on that path? What happened with, well, that was just a one-time thing, okay? I lost my temper, okay? Well, that was just a one-time thing. I didn't tell the whole truth. And next time, and we have all these just one times that really are dots, and we fail to connect the dots to see which direction we're going in. So many times, I have sat with teenagers, college students, and adults. Sometimes it's because somebody got pregnant. Not married. I got a girl pregnant, or I'm pregnant because he... And they sit and they cry. What am I going to do? And I have to, I laugh inside sometimes, even though I'm crying with them when they say, I don't know how this happened. And how many dumb decisions everybody in here, again, I'm not picking on teenagers and college students. We've all been there. When you've made dumb decisions in dating, you go to college and you have all this new freedom and you think, I've got my own place now. I'm going to invite her over for dinner and a movie at my house. It's all innocent. It's cool. Just the two of us sitting on the couch. And before you know it, fireworks are going off, right? and you've gone way too far, and you know you've transgressed and you've gone way too far, and you look back, you go, how did that happen? It's because you were on the path that was leading away from your desired destination. Financially, there's nobody in here who says, you know, I want to be poor, I want to be broke, and I want to be in debt. That's nobody's desired destination. And yet, if we look at our spending habits and our saving habits, that is the exact path we're on. Our credit cards are maxed out. We got car loans that are way too high. We got a mortgage that's way too much for us. We're spending more than we're making. Guess what? It doesn't matter what your intention is. Your intention is to provide for your family and give them nice things. That's all good. It doesn't matter. Because the choices we're making are leading us down the wrong path to an undesired destination. Family life, marriage life, dating, money, relationship with God, we go on and on and on, every area of life. We know what we want. We have something in mind that we want. The question is, are we taking the steps in that direction? Or just a one-time thing. It won't happen again. I messed up. And yet, a week later, we find ourselves doing the exact same thing. If Ethan gets in the car and drives north on I-55, intending to go south to the beach, he's never going to get there because he's on the wrong path. He's making the wrong decisions. He's going the wrong direction for his destination. Ethan has the best intentions. Ethan probably packed for his beach trip, right? He's got his beach towel, he's got his little chair, he's got his swimsuit, he's got his sunscreen, he's got food, he is ready. He's packed and he's planned this trip for weeks, and he's got it all worked out, and he's planned and he's packed. He even prayed before he left the house. Oh Lord, help me to have traveling mercies. Help me, You know what? It doesn't matter how much you plan, how much you prepare. It really doesn't even, this may sound sacrilegious, it doesn't matter how much you pray. If you keep going in the wrong direction, you're not going to get to where you want to end up. So some of us need to make a course correction in some area of our life. A few weeks ago, when I guess it was the last time I preached, the YMCA day, I told you about my conviction that I wasn't taking care of my body, what I was eating and working out. I didn't tell you the whole story. It was my birthday, and I sinned big time with gorging myself that night and paid for it with the heartburn and couldn't sleep. Well, my little daughter, Emma, had trouble sleeping that night, too. And so I went in to check on her, and you know, she always wants milk, no matter what time of night it is. And sometimes I try to just give her water, but she always says, after I get her calmed down, because she's hysterical, "Daddy, lay down too." How can I say no to that, right? "Daddy, lay down too." So I lay down with my daughter, and her nightlight is on, so I can see her face. And sweet angelic face, sleeping. That's when she is angelic, is when she's sleeping. And this is when I was truly convicted. It wasn't the heartburn or the discomfort because I overate. It was looking into her face, and God confronted me. Do you want to see her grow up? Do you want to be around to see her graduate from high school and maybe see her get married and by a miracle meet your grandkids? because I'm an old dad. And I realized that is my desire. That's my destination. That's my intention. But my actions, regardless of my intentions, regardless of my heart, my actions were not put me on the direction, on the right path to my destination. Does that make sense? So we all have course correction to make somewhere in our relationships with God, with people, our finances, whatever it is. I don't know what your area is. I just bared my soul to you. Are you going to let God get a hold of you and spin you around and point you in the right direction? Now, even if you make a course correction today and you do a 180 and head the other way, and from now on, you stay on the right path. Let's just assume that. Even if you stay on the right path, guess what? It doesn't mean you're not going to pay the consequences of past mistakes. If you've been a smoker for 20 years and you quit and you give it up and you say, God, I know if I keep smoking, this is not going to end well. And I don't want to die that way. I don't want to be sick that way. My desire is to be healthy. It doesn't matter what your desire is. It doesn't matter what your intention is. It doesn't matter how much you pray. If you keep smoking, you're going on the wrong path. Or you fill in the blank. If you keep blanking, drinking, recreational use of drugs, whatever it is, keep getting in intimate relationships with people you're not married to. You keep looking at the same porn on your computer, your tablet, or your computer. You fill in the blank. If you keep spending instead of saving and managing your money and being a good steward, whatever it is, you're not going to get to your desired intention. And even if you change 180 and make a course correction today, There's no promises that you're still not going to suffer from your past choices. Okay, let's get that out. Because I've also met with people who say, I repented, I changed, I stopped doing that. Why is God punishing me now? He's not punishing you. We're reaping what we sowed. But we can reap less of what we sowed if we're on our path going towards God and what He wants for our lives. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. So what area is it for you? Don't be a dummy. Don't be like this young man with no sense. Don't keep going in the same direction when all the warning signs are there. Maybe someone has even pulled you aside and said, hey, you're going the wrong direction. What are you doing? Don't do this, please. I love you. Don't go there. Listen to them. Maybe the Spirit right now is pulling at the strings of your heart. And there's an area in your life that you know you're going in the wrong direction. And God's pulling at those strings saying, come on, let's get back on the right path. I'm asking you, I'm begging you to listen to Solomon. Turn around. Make a course correction. You could be the best person in the world. You could have the best heart in the world. You could have the best intentions in the world. But if you're going in the wrong direction, you're going to suffer pain, agony, discomfort. You're going to give up your peace and your tranquility. Your relationships are going to suffer. And who knows? You could be like an ox being led to the slaughter, a deer caught in a noose, or a bird caught in a snare. You don't have to be. Let's examine our path and let's get on the right path. Let's pray. Stand and pray with me, please. God, I am surrounded right now by people who love me, who love each other, and who love you. People who sacrificially give and serve. My life is so much better because I'm surrounded by these people. These are good people, Lord, that you have saved. These are people with good intentions, with good hearts. And yet you know, Lord, that some of us are going down the wrong path. We're not going toward what we want, to what we truly dream about and desire. And I pray, Father, you give us the strength and the courage to acknowledge that and to turn around and to seek wisdom in all these different situations of our lives. Only you know, God, in this room, every heart, and you know our lifestyles. Only you know, well, not just you, we each know also, because you're telling us where we need to make changes. Give us the courage to do that, even right now, today. We pray this through Christ. Amen. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to be right over here. If anybody would like to pray, Gary is being right over here to receive people as well.